do have another day or so to get ready, but be getting crowded down there now if you got to do any shopping, I believe. I'll tell you. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The title of the message today is Tidings of Great Joy. Tidings of Great Joy. We see right off the bat in our text that an angel actually preached the first message of the gospel dispensation. And the keynote of the message that he had to speak or preach was great joy, great joy. You know, we look around on the world scene today, and in those days, I think I mentioned this last week or week before, that there was about a 400-year period where God didn't speak to man what was the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages of history, and, you know, God had a purpose for that, and he didn't speak to man, and the prophets weren't saying much, and it was so this gap came along, and so I believe it was a time politically and nationally for Israel and just for mankind as well in need of joy. We look at the scene today, the political scene certainly as chaotic as it can be, and just the things that happen. We've had some tragedies 3 years in a row. We've had tragedies around here, around this small little community right at Christmas time. And so we're trying to talk about joy and great joy and that message that God has and correlate that with what's going on. So we're certainly living in a time that we need a message of great joy as well. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning. By way of introduction, also we see, though, in verse 9, this angel had given him, he said he brought good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. But when the angel appeared in verse 9, it said this, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the Bible says that they were sore afraid, which means they were very afraid. And this still exists today is that men, the natural man, that doesn't know Christ yet fears God. There's a certain fear, and it's not that holy respect fear that we talk about fear in the Lord, but they are afraid of God. You think years before in Israel's history when they wandered around in the wilderness and God wanted to speak to them, and the people told Moses, they said, "Moses, you go up there and you talk to God and you just come back and tell us what he's got to say, because we don't want to have to go up and face God." When Moses went up to receive the law on Mount Sinai, the Bible says that there was smoke and thunder and lightning and those things on there, which was did kind of represent the law. Peter himself, years later, when he realized who Jesus was, he told Jesus, he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And so what I want you to see is that natural man, a sinful man, does fear in the presence of God. The smoke and thunder and lightning and that when Moses received the law was a picture of the law, because what the law does cause us to fear. How many of you, when you're not doing anything wrong or riding down the road and you look up in your mirror and there's a police car riding along behind you and you get that little, you know, you start looking like, okay, inspection sticker's good. I'm doing pretty much the speed limit. I'm only like 7 over. He's probably not going to pull me over for that. And we look at that, you get that little fear, even though, and you say, I wish he'd just turn off. Even though you're doing all the laws, now you're driving worse than you were because you're concentrating so hard. You can't keep it between the lines and you got to remember the turn signals and all that. And so, you know, it causes fear. And don't try to unload your gun when the police are behind you either, Stanley. And that, you know, I mean, it can cause some bad mishaps, can happen there. But you know, that happens. So that's the law. It does that. And that's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to reveal to man, because God already knew it, that man is sinful. That's what the law does. And so then, and that sin, what happened? That separated us from God. And so that we feel that, and then that separation, now we don't want to have to face God. It's the same way. And you look around today, like if you don't know the Lord, or before you knew the Lord, how many of you were afraid if you saw the preacher coming? I mean, there's people that are afraid of the preacher coming. They're afraid they see somebody carrying a Bible. They just look at that thing like, oh, man, it doesn't matter what you're carrying. But they're afraid of the Word of God, which they shouldn't be, because it's the good tidings that the Bible's talking about here that the angel had to talk about. A lot of people are afraid of that, of the Word of God. They're afraid of church. Oh, man, I'm not going down there. Like, you know, what are we going to do? They're afraid of church, or even the people of God, somebody that's living a godly life, because we're a born sinner. We're born sinners, and that sin has separated us from God. And what happens, you know, we're afraid of the unknown. That's just human nature. We're afraid of the unknown. That's why people won't try certain things. They won't do certain, because they're afraid of they just don't know. Whatever they don't know, they're afraid of that right there. And so that's the whole deal. See, because when you know God, you're not afraid. See, when we really know, we know God. See, I'm not afraid of the Word of God. I'm not afraid of the man of God. I'm not afraid of the house of God. I'm not afraid of the people of God. I'm not afraid to talk to God. You know, I'm not afraid of those things, but I remember there was a time when I might have been somewhat afraid of those things. And so the Jews actually believed that if somebody saw, or if they had witnessed a supernatural appearance, that they were about to die. They were sure to die. So the first thing the angel says is, fear not. That's what they wanted to hear. He said, fear not. Nothing. In other words, nothing bad is going to happen. I've got some good tidings of great joy. That's what he had to say. And so because Jesus Christ, and he was announcing the birth of Christ, and through Jesus Christ, man can be reconciled back to God. I'll talk about that in a minute. And this was something that man needed. This was something that was going to bring good tidings of great joy. In the Greek, all those words are emphatic. That means that, you know, that every word is emphatic. And that means that, you know, emphasis. It's got emphasis. And it's showing that the gospel is intended to bring great joy to the human heart whenever it is received by that heart. And so here we are. What an opportunity. I thought about, you know, here we are at the Christmas season, and there's people, and we did it maybe for years too, that are celebrating Christmas that don't know the Lord. They haven't really received the gift right there. And they'll have some joy in that, but they won't have the same kind of just thinking about all the things that Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth. And so I just got 3 points this morning I want to share with you there. Great joy sent, great joy received, and great joy confirmed. We look at the very first point, great joy sent. You know, as I mentioned, I think last week I was speaking about this, that when a baby's born and a baby comes to the house, that usually brings joy. Everybody, great joy. Patty was sharing this morning how she got a little brother for Christmas, but that ain't what she wanted for Christmas, but that's what she got. We were talking about in Sunday school hour. She wanted a little bit more than that, but baby, and here's the thing, you know what, babies do sometimes, they bring great joy, but you know what? They start getting older. Babies are like puppies. Puppies don't stay puppies, and babies don't stay babies. And then they get older, sometimes they don't bring great joy. You know, there's sometimes some more pains that come along the way with that. You know, it wasn't just the baby that was going to give them joy. You know, it was who the baby is and what the baby would do. You know, the joy that God talks about, and I know there's a play on words, or we kind of define words like happiness and joy as being two different things, and you know, you could put them together, interpose. You could have joy, and however you want to describe it. We try to describe it this way as Christians, that joy is something that's lasting, not impacted by circumstance, and that happiness is something that comes and goes. Now the world doesn't know that, but we do, and so you know, I might use them both ways. But the joy that this announcement and that Jesus Christ brought or God sent, it was going to be a lasting joy. It was going to be a pure joy. It was going to be a holy joy. You know, we have, if you want to use joy as to what the world might experience, you know, that's going to be a temporary thing. Temporary, it would be happiness or temporary joy of the loss. And I think the damning lie of the devil is that sin produces joy. Sin doesn't produce joy. That doesn't mean, listen, if sin wasn't fun, what we call fun, it wasn't enjoyable to some degree, you wouldn't do it to start with, right? See, I don't sin by eating spinach. I don't sin by eating spinach. I'm not saying it is, but if I was comparing that, because I tell you what, I don't like spinach, man. I don't care what you do to it. I just don't like it. And so I don't eat it. See, so it's not, if it was a sin, it would never tempt me to do it. But now chocolate or something like that would be a different story, right? And so, sin has a certain appeal to it. It's not a lasting thing. And so what the devil does is he lies to us and tells us, look, you know, sin is going to bring you happiness and sin is going to bring you joy, the same kind of joy that God brings. But that's the lie right there, because it's not a permanent thing. It's not a lasting thing. And the sinner can be so deceived that he actually hates his own sin. But like the Bible talks about a dog returning to his vomit. I know that's not a great topic, but it's in the Bible. That they just keep going back to their sin time and time again. I knew a man that he was a smoker. If you're a smoker, I mean, I don't know where that falls into the sin category. Some people say it's not and all, but I know it makes you smell like you've been to hell if you ain't going there. But anyway, because you know how it smells. But this guy, he wanted to quit smoking, and he hated smoking, but he couldn't quit smoking. I know it's addicting. I know that. But he would get up there, and this is what he would do, as price of them things is sky high. He would light a cigarette up, and he would smoke like 3 or 4 puffs down on a whole brand new cigarette, and then he would throw the thing away. He was a backhoe operator where I worked, and he was running back. He would throw the thing away, and then because he couldn't stand it, he threw it away, and he'd run. And 3 minutes later, he was lighting up another. He hated it, but he couldn't stop. He just couldn't stop doing it. And listen, great illustration of sin anyway, because that's our problem. See, we can't quit sin apart from God. We may hate it. And sometimes, and there's another thing about getting saved. I think you have to come to the place where you do hate sin before you can even get saved. Because if you're still loving your sin, take an old alcoholic, man, they think they're having fun. I remember, man, you know them Christmas parties from years ago before you got saved, right? What happens? You go out and you drink, man, you get all woozy and everything. And the next morning you wake up, head is pounding, stomach is queasy, your eyes are bloodshot. And what do? Turn right around, go back and do the same thing again. And I'm having fun, right? I'm going to turn around and do it again. And so there's the lie of the devil is, hey, listen, you're really having fun, and you just keep going back to this same thing, but it's not really fun. It's not fun, and it's not a lasting fun. I'm not saying you don't get happy if you go out there. I'm not saying you don't get happy, but I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to be happy the next day when you wake up with that head feeling like it's 10 times bigger than it ought to. That don't happen with God, does it? Huh? How many of you have a Jesus hangover? Man, that'd be a good thing. I'm going to tell you what, you ought to have one. You ought to wake up in the morning, man, you had so much Jesus on Sunday that when you got up on Monday, man, you was just impacted. You looked different. You felt different. You were, and you went back and did it again. That's what you ought to have is a Jesus hangover. How about that? Right? That's an amen point right there. We ought to have that. And so, but here's the thing. The beginning of grace is to become sick of sin. And to see there's no real joy in sin. That's the beginning of grace right there. So we think about why is coming the coming of Christ into the world an occasion for joy. And I already mentioned the reconciling of, because sin had separated God and man. You know, Adam and Eve, they had sweet fellowship in the Garden of Eden. Man, God would come in the cool of the evening, and he walked with them and talked with them. But when they sinned, what happened? God didn't go anywhere. Adam and Eve ran and hid. Why? Fear. Fearing God. Just what I spoke about a minute ago. They had fear because they knew they had sinned and that they were unholy and they were ungodly and they were going to be in the presence of God. Boy, I tell you what, the presence of God. You know what the presence of God would do to us? Every person in the Bible that we ever read about that came into the presence of the glorified Christ fell like a dead man at his feet. Why? Because they still, even in a saved state, we could see our unholiness and our ungodliness. So reconciled, so Jesus came, he was going to die on the cross, pay for that sin, that we could be reconciled back to God where we didn't have to fear God. We've had, Jesus came, he became a man and he, in the flesh. And so after the incarnation, when God looked upon man, he remembered that his son became a man. He remembered that as well. And so then he also remembered that his own son stood in the sinner's place and bore the penalty of sin. So all this is good news. This is something to rejoice about. The birth meant a union would be possible between God and man. He sent himself, his Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in the heart of the believer. You ain't going to receive a gift any better than that. That old Schwinn bicycle I was talking about this morning, it doesn't compare to receiving the Holy Ghost of God. And then prophecies were fulfilled as well. You think about those shepherds, and I'll talk about them in a little bit. Those shepherds that the angel came and spoke to, we don't know their names, obscure. They were Jews. They probably knew some prophecies concerning the Messiah. They knew about that. But just imagine this, that very moment, that they were in the midst of fulfilling prophecies. Prophecy was being fulfilled about the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Savior, and they were involved. I mean, these guys, they're nobodies, man. We don't even know what their name is. They're out there, they're shepherds, they're poor, and they're right in the midst of, they probably couldn't believe it. This angel announces and tells them where the baby is, and they can go, and they did go, and see the baby, and they're right in the middle of the prophecies being fulfilled. Living it in real life. Well, listen, so are we. We're living in the church age. This is the church age, and their day was prophesied ahead. It was a prophecy about it. They didn't know nothing about the church age. We're living in the church age right now, that we got the gospel and we've got the Holy Spirit of God, and that we can go out and share the gospel with the world, and that we got a commission from God to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. We're in the midst of a prophecy right now, and I'm going to tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me that all of us or most of us here today will be here when the Lord comes back. I believe the Lord will return, and when the Lord returns, we're going to be in the midst of fulfilling another prophecy right there. We'll be right in the middle of it, so we're living. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing to be. We're not just in the middle of nothing going on. I mean, something is going on, and so we can look at that, and they did. Then, of course, a Savior was born. That's another thing to rejoice about. You know, God had come to the earth before, but not as a Savior. He came as a judge. Actually, one time, well, when did that happen? When Sodom and Gomorrah got judged? Because you look at Abraham talking, there was three angels talking to him, and they bowed down and worshiped him and called them three angels Lord in the singular. And then two of them stayed, and one angel went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was living there, and Lot, he bowed down and said Lord to that one angel right there, and no angel would accept worship unless it was God incarnate. And so there was God came to the earth, and guess what happened? He judged Sodom and Gomorrah at that time. He wasn't coming as a Savior. He came as a judge, and I'm going to tell you what, he came that one time, and we have an opportunity to be saved. But when he comes back, he's coming back as a judge again. He's going to come back as a judge and not going to come back as a Savior. So, you know, we look at the Bible, and the Bible is full of man's sin. The Bible is full of God's judgment. And it's no wonder that people that don't know the Lord, and a lot of people that are lost, they know about all those old judgment stories. They know about that. It's no wonder that they fear when they don't know the Lord. But the Bible's also full of God's faithfulness and full of God's long-suffering and full of God's mercy and full of God's grace. And so, you know, we get to the gospel. Now we've got Jesus Christ, and the law was given, and nobody could keep it, and they knew it. They knew they were sinners because of the law. That's all the law did was show them that they were sinners, and God said, all right, now I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to send Jesus Christ, and because you can't keep the law, now you have a means to be saved and have eternal life. Man, what a thing to be rejoicing about. Amen? And then he said, so there was great joy sent, and then great joy was received. In verse 11, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, listen, God didn't send it. He would have, but he didn't send a Savior just to die for two old shepherds out on the hills, even though he loved them just as much as he loved you and me. He sent this Savior to you, the whole world. And so he got to those shepherds. It began with them. They were the first ones to hear that. I don't know if they ever contemplated that or not. I wonder if they ever contemplated, maybe they're in heaven walking around and thinking today, all this time, they were the first two to hear the gospel message. Of all the places that the angel could have appeared and announced the birth of Christ, two shepherds out at night watching their sheep by night. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you hear the gospel message, that same news that they heard comes to you. When you heard it, if you heard it and you received it and you were saved, you got the same message that they got. There's people out there that don't have it. They haven't heard it yet. But when they hear it and they receive it, that's the same thing that's happening to them. And they can come to Christ, which is what the shepherds did. They went to Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter that Jesus is born or that he died as far as you are concerned until he is born unto you and that you're born again or born unto him. You know, that it does, it doesn't mean anything until you receive the gift. If somebody bought you a gift and you never got it, it's your gift, but it's off somewhere else in another state or off some, and you never got it. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't benefit you. Doesn't do anything for you, but you have to receive the gift. And so, you know, the gospel message came to those poor shepherds. It also showed us that that they were, nobody's exempt from this, to all people. Didn't, like I said, shepherds were traditionally, they weren't, they were kind of untrustworthy folks, society, they were kind of outcast of society. I think this is, I'm not claiming to know the mind of God on everything that he did, but I think one of the reasons why that this announcement came, it wasn't to kings or important people, but it was to shepherds, is so that they would say, hey, listen, this is for everybody. Certainly that wouldn't exclude the kings and the important people. But, you know, like I say, insignificant, nobodies, like I say, don't know their name. A lot, there's people in the world that feel that way, insignificant, feel like a nobody. All nationalities, all classes of people, doesn't rich, poor, middle class, this, you know, he said to you, it was for everybody. And, you know, sometimes people think, well, I'm just too big a sinner for God to save. Well, number one, it's just an excuse. It's not a reality. They don't believe that. They just love their sin more than they love God, and they don't want to turn from their sin. But then also, they don't know God, and they think they don't know how big God is. And listen, you're not a sinner too big for God to save. Let me tell you right there, because Jesus' death later on, it covered it all. And so, you know, Jesus didn't come to this earth, and he didn't go to the cross and die for good people. He came. He said, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but he said, it's the sick that need a physician. The well people don't need a physician. So he didn't come to save good people. Reason being, there's none good. The Bible's clear on that. There's none good. Not one. And so, you know, Christ coming brought joy, even to people that are not Christians. And right now, think about this. There's people that's going to celebrate Christmas. Now, they may not know all about it, but it's a joyous occasion, usually, all over the world. It's a joyous occasion. People are going to celebrate with their family. They're going to love ones. But we wouldn't have it except for Jesus Christ. Think about the influence, God's influence upon the whole world, the Holy Spirit. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is still holding evil back in the world. As wicked as this world is, the Holy Spirit's influence is still holding wickedness back. There's something to be thankful for right there, right? And then the teaching of his word has influenced the world in more ways than you know, particularly in our country. The founding fathers based the principles of our nation when they were designing our Constitution were based on the Word of God. And so it had an influence, and I believe God's divine hand. It's hard to believe in the world we're living in today or the United States that we live in today, but God's hand, I believe his hand, was upon the founding of this land. And I know we've become pretty godless as a nation right now, but his hand was. And so listen, you know, you may get happy. You may have something you call joy, but you'll never have great joy until you come to Jesus Christ. It'll never be great joy. And then the third thing, this great joy confirmed. And the Bible says in verse 12, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This will be a sign. Now, they didn't ask for a sign, but God gave them a sign anyway. And that sign was Jesus Christ himself. This was the sign. And, you know, he was lying in a manger. And the Bible says wrapped in swaddling clothes, which that amounts to rags, just wrapping rags around the baby. And they were told what they would see and what they would find, listen, if they went and looked. Okay, here's the announcement. Jesus was born. The angel came and preached the message. Jesus is born. It was up to the shepherds to go see, to go find out. And that's what we do now. Listen, I'm not going to drag somebody kicking and screaming down the aisle, brother, you're lost and you better get down here and get saved. You need to get saved. Listen, I'm just going to preach the message. I'm going to tell somebody, this is what we do. We can tell somebody, don't fret, don't sweat. I know if you have a loved one that's not saved, I know you have a concern for them, you grieve for them, you ought to weep some tears for them, you ought to shed some tears, that's fine. But listen, don't beat yourself up over it if they don't get saved, because all you can do is give the gospel to somebody. That's what we're told to do. Jesus said, we can't save them. We can't save them. All I can do is tell them, and I can give them the same gospel message the angels gave the shepherds, but they have to make a decision that they want to see Jesus Christ, that they've got, that they want to come to him in that sense right there. And in verse 15, they said, let us now go. Let us now go. And I want to say something about this right here. This stay-at-home Christianity is a farce. That's another lie of the devil right there. Well, I'm saved. I know I don't go to church and I don't do that, but God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And he's seeing a different one than you see. Huh? That he knows. Listen, that I'm not talking about people that can't get to church. Some of y'all looking at me like, that preacher up there. I'm not talking about somebody that can't, do anything for God or that physically can't. But I'm talking about somebody that's just claiming that they're saved, man, and they're living an ungodly life all this time, man. Nothing's ever happened in their life. Don't want to have anything to do with God. Listen, that's another lie that the devil has spread, and a lot of people in the church have bit into that or bought into that lie right there. Listen, man, these shepherds didn't know nothing. They didn't have Hebrews 10:25, brother. They just went down there and they said, man, if this is the deal, we want to go see him. Joy's coming to the world. They didn't know nothing about going and worshiping. They didn't know what they were supposed to. They just went to see. They found out something about it. They went. And so when they got there, what did they see when they went to that manger that day? Well, they didn't see a sign of wealth. Or they didn't see a sign of power, what they could physically see. They saw poverty. They saw what we would call weakness, in a sense, a baby there. And, isn't it ironic that a lot of the world's philosophy on joy and happiness is what? Wealth and power. Man, wealth and position, which is power. That's the idea. Boy, if I just had this much money. But, you can go watch millionaires. I've preached this over my whole lifetime of preaching. You can see people, millionaires, and watch them athletes, man, they're fussing and feuding over, well, this team wants to give me $98 million, but if I go over here, I can get $100 million. And, you and I are thinking, 98, 100, who cares, what's the big deal? But when you get, I'm going to tell you something about your name. And if you've worked long enough, you've got a raise, right, and you think, oh, there's a goal. If I get this much money, I'll be happy. How long does that last? 6 months? And then you want the next one, huh? And it doesn't matter. You can go up to the ladder to 50,000, 100,000, to a half a million, to a million, you're going to be just like them other ones feuding for just one little bit more because you didn't get the joy that you wanted to get or you thought that you were going to get if you got that extra money right there. So that's the sign. So isn't it ironic that the world's view of joy and happiness is wealth and power? And so when the shepherds went, they saw a baby in a manger, that's a pretty poor lifestyle place to be born and that. But God, revealed great joy in the midst of this poverty and weakness. There wasn't any worldly wisdom or philosophy. What did they see? They saw a baby in a manger in a small, obscure town, a couple of Jewish parents, the man, which was in a sense his daddy, biologically, but Joseph, was just a carpenter. Just a carpenter. The shepherds didn't have or need a doctor of divinity to explain everything that was going on. They didn't have to have that. When the wise men came later to see Jesus, they had no wisdom to offer. They only brought gifts. And they only brought worship. That's all they brought when they came to Jesus. It was a pretty simple sign that God gave those shepherds right there. But you know what? I believe they believed. I read one fellow said he didn't know whether they had a life-changing event or whether they got saved. I believe they did. I believe they did. I believe they got saved. God knew when he brought that message to those men right there. And so we see at the end here, the angel appeared, he announced good tidings of great joy to all people, this child that was born. The shepherds heard, and they believed, and they came to Christ. What about you? What about you? Have you heard the message? Have you come to Christ and received your gift? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we said, thank you for sending your son. Lord, what a gift, that gift of eternal life. And not only eternal life, but joy. We can have joy in this life, Lord. It's not all in store for us in heaven, but you got so many things for us here on this earth. Help us to realize that and count our blessings, as the song says. Lord, help us to do that and be thankful people. Lord, thank you for loving us and sending your son to die for us. It's my prayer this morning, Lord, that there's any here not sure about their salvation, Lord, that they'll see that need of coming to you like those shepherds. Lord, they've heard the message. Lord, it's good news. Lord, help them to come and see you. And we put it into your hands today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.